morning, everybody. Glad to see you. So honored to be here. Did you all have a good Family Day weekend?
Yeah, good.
I am Pastor Jeremiah, as I mentioned. Sorry, I have no name tag. I got a new shirt from my mom. She came back from the Philippines. She did a missions trip down there, and the name tags don't like these shirts. They always fall off, so I'm sorry. We are doing our series, Cross Reverence, today. So excited. And as Pastor Gune mentioned, I love this kind of image that we're using here. And every week we're revealing a certain aspect of who Jesus is. Last week, Pastor Victor told us about Jesus as the wisdom of God and revealed one aspect. Today, we're going to looking at Jesus as the forgiving king through the story of Joseph. And next week, Pastor Victor's back, and he's coming to talk about Jesus as the sufferer. Not the best title, but looking at the story of Job, and it's also the first week of Lent series. And we're looking at the Old Testament to know who Jesus is. And what's beautiful is the more we learn about Jesus, the more we find ourselves as well. And that's kind of the image and the purpose of this here today. So as we learn about Jesus, we'll also learn about who we are, called to be in Christ. All right? Today we're looking at the story of Joseph. Anybody heard about the story of Joseph before? Anybody read it? Okay. And we're going to look at Jesus as the forgiving king. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a hard time forgiving someone? Yeah. Now, do you find it easier to forgive strangers or family? I think it depends what it is. But something about family, there's an expectation. This is what family should be, right? And when they transgress that, when they wrong us, it hurts sometimes worse than if a stranger wronged you or hurt you. Now, I'm not sure about your family, but my family has a lot of drama, okay? Anybody else have family drama here? My mom was in the Philippines, and it was awesome, but it was a lot of drama too. And one person I find it hard to forgive is actually my father. And I won't get into all the details. I'll share one story with you. Can you share the next slide, MJ? When I was a kid, I had a piggy bank. Anybody ever had a piggy bank? Okay. I was so diligent of putting money every day into that piggy bank. And it was the ones you couldn't open. It was the real ones, okay? You had to break it to get into the money. And I was putting so much money in, having a tough time. You know, I was filling it. Every week I would shake it. Ooh, it's getting heavy. And I put change in because, you know, bills, it wasn't the same effect, right? It's heavier. Like, oh, yeah. And every day I would do that. And then one day I couldn't find my piggy bank. I'm like, where is it? What happened to it? And I asked my dad every week, did you see my piggy bank, Dad? And he'd be like, no, sorry. And for weeks I would try, where'd it go? Where do I put my money now? So I'd spend it all. Anyway, I need my piggy bank back. And then one day I was in my dad's room, and I opened his closet looking for something else, and there on the floor was my piggy bank. And my dad's a butcher, right? So all I could see was this piggy bank just butchered, ripped open, green blood everywhere, just, ugh. But there was no money there. He had taken it. And I was so angry, I felt absolutely nothing. You ever experience that? You're so angry, you just feel just no emotion at all. And that moment I told myself I could never trust my dad. I could never rely on him. And when it's your family, that's even harder to forgive. One person once said, family is supposed to be our safe haven. Very often, it's the place where we find the deepest heartache. Now, if you look at the story of Joseph, there's some family drama here. Woo! Now, we won't get into too much, but let me just give you a little background story. Read the story yourself, please, because we can't get over here. But Joseph was a family of 12 brothers and sisters, okay? From two wives and four concubines. Let's not get into that. That was crazy anyway. And then the daddy, Jacob, he played favorites over others, okay? He loved one wife or the other wife. And that wife bore Rachel bore Joseph and Benjamin. And unfortunately, when Rachel bore Benjamin, Rachel died. And that really hurt Jacob. But the problem was he really favored Joseph and Benjamin over all the other siblings. And that caused tension, especially with Joseph. He became a little spoiled brat. He would shove it in their face. Jacob gave him this nice coat, this coat of many colors, or some translators say ornaments. And he would show it off to his brothers. Ooh, yeah, look at me. I'm daddy's boy. One day you're going to bow down to me. And his brothers were angry. Oh, they were mad. And then this time came where the circumstances were perfect for the brothers to take revenge. And Joseph came to see his brothers. Nobody else was there. And the brothers, especially the main guy, Judah, he's like, oh, there's our dreamer. Look at that little brother coming down. Let's kill him. And they're like, oh, you know what, yeah, let's not kill him. He's our brother, actually. Let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit and enslave them to the Egyptians. That's better, right? What good brothers. And they did that. They put him to the end. Joseph had a crazy life. And that was hard. He was ripped from his family. He was enslaved. And then he got in trouble. He was falsely accused, put in prison. It was hard. But God was with him. And he used Joseph to actually be second in command over all of Egypt, part of the powerful nation of the time. And God used Joseph to save thousands of people because there was a famine coming. And actually, God gave Joseph a dream which predicted the famine, and Pharaoh put him in charge of all his land to make sure that his people would survive during the famine. The famine came. Joseph was doing anything in Egypt, and the famine also affected his family. And his family, his brothers, were sent to Egypt to get some grain because there was no grain left. They walked in the room and came to Joseph. He was the one who was going to give them grain. Can you imagine that? Now, Joseph, he recognized his brothers right away. Oh, wow! But his brothers didn't recognize him. And we won't get into now, but Joseph, he was struggling. I believe he forgave his brothers, but when he saw them in the room with him, oh, that's hard. But he also loved them. He wanted to take care of them, and he tested them. And eventually through some tests and through some couple funny things we won't get into now, they came to this point where Joseph decides to reveal himself to his brothers. Now, in our last sermon series, we talked about engaging the word in different ways, meditating the word, and one of the cool ways is picture it. I encourage you today, as we're going to read the story of Joseph, imagine yourself in the story. Are you Joseph? Are you one of the brothers? And ask God to maybe teach you something about yourself and about God through this story. And we are going to start in chapter 45, Genesis 45, down to verse 15. Then we're going to skip ahead a few years to another time when Joseph had to forgive his brothers again. Okay? And as we do this, just imagine yourself in the story. Hear the word of the Lord, Genesis 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Out! Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing or reaping. But God has sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near to me. You, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I will provide for you here, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you've seen, and bring my father down here quickly. And then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Now about 17 to 20 years later, Genesis 50, verse 15. This is after Jacob passed away. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So he sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came, threw themselves down on the ground before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story. It tells of a man, Joseph, but also of you, the great God. Thank you. It's a picture of Jesus. Help us, Lord, find out who Jesus is and find out who we are through this story. Give me, Lord, your words. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We also have sermon notes. If you don't have a sermon notes, I'm sure you can raise your hand and somebody will get them for you. If someone could do that, that'd be great. Our pastor will be there. We are going to look at this story, and the story of Joseph is a picture of who Jesus is. Like Joseph, Jesus was and is the forgiving King. But even more so, Jesus is the better, the more true, the more beautiful forgiving King. And here's what I believe God wants us to know today. And you can write this down in your notes if you have one. Joseph's forgiveness changed a family. Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity. Joseph's forgiveness is powerful. And from it we can learn many lessons on how to forgive well. But more importantly, it points to Jesus' forgiveness, which is more powerful, more full, and more true. Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity, changed us all. And we are now empowered to forgive others through Jesus, even when it feels impossible. Joseph is an example of forgiveness. Jesus is the power of forgiveness. And what we're going to do today, we're just going to go look at those two parts. One, Joseph's forgiveness changed the family. And then two, Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity, and then we'll have two applications, all right? First point, you can write this down. Joseph's forgiveness changed a family. Now, this is a crazy story, right? If you were in Joseph's position, what would you do? It seems so impossible sometimes to forgive. But through Joseph's story, we have a few lessons that we can learn from Joseph, all right? The first one is this. You can write this down. Forgiveness requires one to acknowledge the wrong apart from the wrongdoer. Now, forgiveness is not just forgetting, although forgetting makes it a lot easier. And it's not downplaying or ignoring the wrong done to you. It's not minimizing the pain. True forgiveness means feeling and acknowledging the pain. Joseph, he feels his pain and he weeps a lot throughout this story. Genesis 45:2 says he wept so loudly that all the Egyptians heard him. And Pharaoh's household heard about it. He wasn't ashamed to feel that pain. And what happened to Joseph was wrong. Completely, utterly wrong. He didn't downplay. He didn't minimize it. He told his brother straight up, I'm the one you sold into Egypt. No ifs, ands, buts. He didn't color code it. Unfortunately, though, the reality is it hurts. And it actually might never stop hurting. 20 years later, in chapter 50, after Joseph publicly forgave his brothers, they actually hurt him again. After their father died, they sent him a letter. And most commentators say that the brothers made up this letter on behalf of the father, saying, you know, Joseph, he's really still a daddy's boy. He only forgave us because of our fault. Now he's dead. He's gonna hurt us. He's gonna pay us back. So he made up this letter saying, you know, your father urged you to forgive us. And they bowed their heads saying, we're slaves. They're expecting Joseph to hurt them, to enslave them. They still think he's a spoiled brat, a daddy's boy. And that hurts Joseph. After all they did for him, they still believe that. And Joseph weeps again, and he forgives them. The pain sometimes never really goes away. Now, forgiveness is not forgetting the wrong, but separating the wrong from the wrongdoer. Acknowledging the wrong apart from the wrongdoer. Now, I've been reading a lot of Miroslav Volf on forgiveness this week. And Miroslav Volf says, when someone hurts you, it's as if a tattoo goes on their forehead. And every time you see them, all you can see is this wrong. You don't see them as a human. You see them as defined by what they did to you. And you can only see that. And the pain comes back at you. Now, forgiveness is separating the wrong from the wrongdoer. Rather than defining this person by what they did to you, you define them as a human being, as a flawed human being, just like you. One person says, it's kind of funny, it's easier to forgive when you realize the person is pretty much a complete idiot. And when you do this, you see them not in terms of the wrong, but you see them as a person. The wrong doesn't go away. It's still there in the background, but you separate it from their identity. Okay? But what happens to this wrong? That's the hard part. Forgiveness is willing to take on the consequences for this wrong without getting even with the other person. Now, Joseph, he took on all the consequences for what happened to him. He became a slave. He was imprisoned. He was separated from his family, and now he must bear the fact that his brothers might never trust him. And forgiveness is willing to accept all the consequences of this wrong without trying to get even with the other person. And Joseph, he could have got even. His brothers almost said, we'll be your slaves. He said, oh yeah, okay. He could have made them feel what he felt. Separated as all the families of our, he could have hurt them badly, but he didn't. He forgave them. He gave up the right to get even and was willing to accept all the consequences of this wrong. And the only way we could do this is by giving this wrong to God. And that's the second part of forgiveness. You can write this down. Forgiveness requires one to acknowledge the greatness of God. Genesis 50, Joseph says this, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Let's break down this verse. First off, Joseph asks, am I in the place of God? Acknowledge the greatness of God, recognizes that God is greater than us. Joseph, he gave this wrong to God, saying, God, you are the judge. You are the jury. You are the executioner. You are the prison guard. You know, I was a spoiled brat. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I should have been enslaved. However, I'm not perfect. I am not God. You are the judge, and I am not. And you will avenge what is done unjustly. We see this throughout the scriptures. Romans 12:19. Paul, the Apostle Paul, puts it like this. He says in verse 19, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." And secondly, to acknowledge the greatness of God, and this is the hard part, which takes a long, long, long time, but instead of seeing this wrong as a burden you always have to carry, you can never shake, Joseph saw this wrong as of a part of God's gracious plan in his life. He says here, "You intended harm for me, but God used it for good." Now, that is not easy. Joseph spent a lot of time in prison thinking about this, okay? But eventually came to a place where he saw that God used this horrible situation for the good of himself and also the saving of many, many lives. Romans 8:28 puts it like this. But God, and this is, unfortunately, we kind of use this in harmful ways, but the truth of it is, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. God is so great that he can bring good out of even the most horrific and terrible situations. And this takes time to see it in this way. We shouldn't just force people. It's part of God's plan. We have to allow people to feel the pain, and eventually they can see the greatness of God even in the harm done to them. All right? This is a summary of forgiveness, which is in your notes. Forgiveness is really a two-way release. It means releasing others from the debts and sins they committed against us, separating the wrong from the wrongdoer, and giving this wrong to God rather than trying to get even, and also releasing ourselves as judge, jury, and prison guard over that person, because that's God's position, acknowledging the greatness of God. But let's take it a step further, okay? And this is another hard part of forgiveness. You can write this down. True forgiveness is not mainly for our own freedom from bitterness. Rather, it is a gift to the other person for their good so they can flourish. Now, in modern times, the emphasis of forgiveness has been, it's mainly for our well-being. You know, it's for our good to forgive others. However, from the biblical standpoint, true forgiveness is always for the benefit of the other person. Forgiveness is mainly a gift to that person. Joseph, his purpose of forgiving isn't just that he had peace in Egypt, but his purpose was that he would provide for his brothers and for their children and their grandchildren. Can you imagine buying homes for the people that hurt you and paying all their bills and the bills of their children? That is the kind of forgiveness that God calls us to. Wow. And Joseph, it's not easy. When they first come in, I believe Joseph already forgave them. But when he saw them, when he saw his brothers with the thing on their foreheads, oh, it's hard. And he's reluctant at first to forgive them, to tell them who he is. And he is because it's hard. But also, too, I believe he wanted to test his brothers, to see that if his gift of forgiveness, unconditional gift, would actually cause his brothers to flourish. He wanted his brothers to live with him again. But he wanted to make sure that they're not going to do the same mistake they did with him. He's going to make sure that they're good, that they've changed over the years. He wanted to make sure that his gift would actually cause his brothers to flourish. And when we give forgiveness, it's not primarily for us, but it's for the other person. Joseph's heart was his brothers would flourish, that his brothers would change. And thankfully, by God's grace, they did change. And right before we read in Genesis 45, Joseph saw his brother changed. If you look at Judah, can you go to the next slide, MJ? This is Judah and Joseph back in the day. This is Judah with Joseph, 37. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he's our brother." Nice brother, right? And Joseph, he tests the brothers. See if they're still the same. And he actually withholds Benjamin from his brothers, saying, I'm going to keep Benjamin, you go home. And Judah, he can't take this. And he says here, verse 44, Judah and Benjamin, Judah says, now then, please, let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. The hope of Joseph was that his gift of forgiveness would change his brothers. And when he saw that it would be so, he revealed himself to them, and he wanted to give them everything. Joseph's forgiveness changed a family. Now, let me clarify. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends with the person. It doesn't mean you have to even be the same room with the person. However, giving the gift of forgiveness doesn't mean that they will receive it. And I'm not sure what would happen if Joseph's brothers didn't change, if they still were selfish and hateful and spiteful. But the point is, true forgiveness is first and foremost for the benefit of the wrongdoer. It's us being in a place saying, I'm giving you forgiveness, and I hope I will see you in paradise one day with Jesus. And that is hard. That is almost near impossible. But thankfully, we have Jesus, the forgiving King, to help us, to change us. Joseph's forgiveness changed the family. Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity. And you can write this down. Second point, Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity, changed us. Now, there are so many similarities between Joseph and Jesus. Like Joseph, Jesus was loved by his Father God, and he was a king. And like Joseph, Jesus was rejected by his brothers. His own people, Israel, crucified him. He was in prison, falsely accused. And like Joseph, Jesus forgave his enemies and his family for their benefit, for their good. But unlike Joseph, Jesus gave us a greater way towards forgiveness. And you can write this down. Joseph bore the sins of his family. He was willing to take on the consequences of those sins. But Jesus bore the sins of all humanity. Forgiveness means bearing the consequences of the wrong without getting even. And what is a reality is whenever we harm our brothers and sisters, whenever we hurt them, we also sin against God. And every time we do, it's like we put a mark on ourselves. We gossip, we slander, we're envious. We don't give to our family or friends when we are in need. And when God sees us, all he can see is this sin. And this sin blocks us from God. And God, out of love, wanted to show us forgiveness. But he couldn't just say, oh yeah, you're forgiven. He had to deal with all the sin. So he sent his son Jesus for us. And what's amazing about Jesus is he separated the wrong from the wrongdoer. But since he is God, it says on the cross, Jesus took our sins on himself. The consequences of our sin was death. And Jesus, because he loved us, took on our sin. And he died in our place because he loved us. But what's even more amazing, the good news of Jesus is, not only are we separated from our sin through Jesus, is that Jesus died, but he also rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And the Bible says all these sins now are completely and utterly gone. It says, as far as the east is from the west. Which was east? This way? East? As far as the east is from the west. Oh, sorry. So far, our sins have been separated from us. And now we are forgiven. Amen? But what's even more incredible is every time someone hurt or sinned against us, those sins are gone too. Christ has already forgiven them. And every time someone has hurt you, no matter how horrible, no matter how tragic it is, Christ has already forgiven it on the cross. They are wiped clean, utterly. Christ has already forgiven them. That's what I mean by Joseph is an example of forgiveness, but Jesus is the power of forgiveness. Jesus is not up in the clouds looking down at us, oh, I wonder if he can forgive that person. Oh, good luck. No. Those who are following Christ, it says that we have died with him. Our sins are dead. And we have raised in life with him. And we have Christ inside us through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, you know, when we forgive, we can't just tighten our fists and like, I'm just going to forgive him. Oh, it's impossible. And even if we're able to forgive and separate the wrong from the wrongdoer, it's harder to have a desire for those who hurt us to flourish, to be happy. It's impossible. God knows this. Instead of giving us a good example, Christ himself forgives them through us. Christ has already forgiven the sins that we cannot forgive. We just now have to allow him to forgive them through us. Miroslav Volf says this, if you write this down, Christ is not just outside of us modeling forgiveness and urging us to forgive. Christ lives inside us and is himself, as Luther, the theologian, wrote, the basis, the cause, the source of all our actual righteousness. From Christ we receive the power and the willingness to forgive. Christ forgives through us, and that is why we can forgive. Joseph is an example of forgiveness, but Jesus is the power of forgiveness. And like Joseph, Christ has forgiven us for our good so that we can be more like him, so that we can flourish, so that we can be transformed like Judah did with time and practice to love and forgive or give others as he loves and forgives us. Joseph's forgiveness changed the family. Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity. And through Jesus, we can forgive when it's impossible. Let me just end with two applications, all right? You can write this down. First one, rest in Jesus' forgiveness. The first step in forgiving others is knowing that you are forgiven. John Calvin says, ignorance of our own faults is the only cause that renders us unwilling to forgive our brothers. Christ has forgiven you, just like he forgave all those who hurt you. And now we are called to forgive. And Jesus is inside of you. He will help you forgive the sins he's already wiped clean. And he will forgive through you when it feels impossible. Second, forgive others. You can write that down. Now, especially family, it is hard. And I think sometimes the church is like a family, isn't it? We have expectations of what a church should be like. And when the church hurts us, it is a deep, deep cut. And I encourage you, we're not perfect, unfortunately. And the church will hurt you. And we live at house churches at Mosaic House. That's even more intimate. That's even more messy. When someone doesn't like your casserole, it hurts. When someone messes up your bathroom, it hurts. Because you have expectations. This is what you should be like. You're a Christian. Come on. It is life. But God calls us to forgive others, even when it hurts. And this is a process, a way to forgive. And this is a course I took. First is turn to Jesus. We can't forgive without Jesus. And I encourage you, if you're a non-Christian here and you still uphold forgiveness as a virtue, I really admire you. Because this culture is very hard to look up to forgiveness. We're all call-out culture. We're all about justice, which is awesome, but forgiveness is a hard, hard thing. And let me encourage you, if you don't believe in Jesus, my argument is you can't fully forgive without Christ. You can't fully deal with those sins. You can't bear those consequences. Only Christ can, so turn to him. And if you have a hard time forgiving, turn to Jesus. And second is, name the sin and how it made you feel, and don't downplay it. Tell Jesus how you felt with all the colorful details. Just give it to him. He can take it and he knows already and he feels what you feel. Be honest with him, okay? And then ask Jesus to help you forgive. Ask him to separate the wrong from the wrongdoer, to acknowledge the greatness of God, to know that God is a judge and you are not, and also to eventually realize that God will use this wrong for his purpose and for your good. And also, ask Jesus to help you gift a person an opportunity to be blessed and to flourish. And when this is hard, allow Christ, who has already forgiven them, to forgive that person through you. And finally, confess if you've allowed unforgiveness to hurt you or others. Unfortunately, if we cannot, or when we've separated the wrong from wrong, but don't give it to God, it actually sticks back on us. And we hurt ourselves through bitterness, unforgiveness, and also we hurt others. My father was, unfortunately, his dad was an alcoholic who beat my dad every day of his life. And unfortunately, he was not able to separate that from himself, and he beat my brother and I a lot and hurt us. So confess when you have allowed unforgiveness to hurt you or others. And speaking of my dad, by God's grace, I have forgiven him. But I have to keep forgiving him, even when he keeps putting stuff on his forehead all the time. And sometimes it's easy to forgive, sometimes it is so, so hard. But when those times come, I believe Christ has already forgiven my dad. And when I can't, I ask Christ to forgive him through me. I ask Christ to bless him through me. And by God's grace, Christ is helping me to become like him, to love and forgive like him, because that is who we are. We are forgiven, and we forgive. Joseph's forgiveness changed a family. Jesus' forgiveness changed humanity. And this picture of Joseph is a picture of who Jesus is. Joseph is an example of forgiveness, but Jesus is the power of forgiveness. And through Jesus, we are free to forgive our family and all those who hurt us. For we are too caught up in the forgiveness of God through his grace. So let us live in the power of Christ in us, the forgiving King. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you, Jesus. You are the forgiving King. Even though we have hurt you, even though we have hurt our brothers and sisters, and sin has overcome us, you and your great love came down to us. You bore the consequences of our sin. And you set us free from sin through death on the cross and resurrection. Thank you so much, Jesus. You are amazing. Thank you that you didn't just do it for yourself. You did it for us so that we could to flourish, so we could be transformed. Thank you, Lord, now. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who have hurt us. We can't do it ourselves, Lord. And it was an impossible. Help us, Lord, to know that you've already forgiven them and you want to bless them through us. So help us to allow you to work in us. I thank you that you are changing us to become more and more like you. We pray all this in the kind name of Jesus. Amen.